Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Show. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date, May 7th, 2020.
Since the world is in turmoil, most still don't realize that we're in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar, heed the warning, get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you with you. If you get a machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell and tell him you're going to call, and he'll answer you because of the robocall. So texting first, 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. Hey, and by the way, I haven't been getting hardly any robocalls. I wonder if coronavirus got them.
Really? I don't know. But come to think of it, the robocalls have dramatically dropped with me, too. I mean, there's still a few, but the only few is the ones I keep getting bugged about doing the thing for my Social Security because I'm going to be 65 years old. But those...
I keep getting one for warranty on my Dodge.
Okay.
I don't have a warranty on my Dodge.
Well, we better move on with radio. But, yeah, I agree. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives. Anything you want to know about our ministry, you can find it on our ministry hub, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like Manila, Philippines, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Westminster, London, and in the USA, let's thank Lexington, Kentucky, San Jose, California, Miami, Florida, and Newark, New Jersey is the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it podcasts later tonight.
Okay, yeah, so Newark, New Jersey actually outbeat Wichita, Kansas. Folks over there in Wichita, you better step it back up, and we'll talk about Wichita a little bit. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray, Father, I pray radio goes tonight according to your will, not our will, Father. And I just pray that you give us the right message to give out to the people and help everybody to have ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, we are going to be talking about, we've got several things to talk about today, but the first up, I'm going to play a song as normal, and that's because we're going to be talking about Israel probably the second half of the program, but let's hear this song now. Well, we got our producer's attention anyway.
Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile to the Euphrates. God has given all this land to his servant Abraham, our father, to him and his seed.
Moses seen this land of
spoken word of the Father, blessing all their needs. They dwelt in the land of Canaan, where Jesus would be born. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel. Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile.
We could call Israel the Father's time clock in reality, because it really is. Because if you read the Bible, even Sir Isaac Newton said that at some point in the end times, that people, knowledgeable people, people of wisdom, I don't want to say that's me, but there would be people in our age, in the time of the end, that would come forward and demand that the scriptures be read and the prophecies be determined literally. You know, instead of all this thing that's going on out there, you know, how they say, well, in one part of the Bible, they'll say, well, the word Israel, well, that doesn't mean Israel. It means this or that or the other. No, the Bible, when it says Israel, it means Israel, and so on and so forth. But so we're going to talk about the land thing that's going on here probably after break. But first, I want to get into this about, it's all over the news, and so we need to talk about it. Michael Flynn, you know, that was the guy that was the general that was working for Trump, and they set an entrapment for him. And they prosecuted him, and that was part of the what they had went after as part of the Mueller case. But so the breaking news today is the Michael Flynn criminal case was dropped by the Department of Justice completely. Now, the Justice Department moved to drop its case comes shortly after internal memos were released that serious questions about the nature of the investigation that led to the retired Army General's 2017 guilty plea for lying to the FBI. Now, those documents come out or are also coming out just now from the House Intelligence Committee that said there was absolutely no Russian collusion, and all the documents that prove that there isn't are being held up by Adam Schiff, that guy that was the head of that kid, that crazy guy that's the head of that committee. You know, you've seen him in the prosecutor. Every time he comes on, he says, there's absolute evidence that, you know, Trump colluded with Russia.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
they're always making jokes about little baby Schiff or all that stuff, you know. Okay, well, he's still trying to hold the documents up, but the intelligence committee released the interviews conducted by the panel during the 2017 Russian probe. I know he's trying to hold it up, but this is part of this avalanche. Those documents showed how agents discussed their motivations for interviewing him in the Russian probe, questioned whether they wanted to get him to lie. They actually came out, it was in the notes, Michael Flynn. They discussed getting him to lie and setting up an entrapment. He hadn't did anything wrong. Anyway, so they wanted to get him to lie so he'd be fired or prosecuted or get him to admit some kind of wrongdoing. Flynn allies howled over the revelations, arguing he was set up as a perjury trap. Yes, he was. Trump just came out and is praising it and saying he was an innocent man. Anyway.
Didn't they send him to jail?
No, there's a couple of other people that were friends of Trump that they also prosecuted under fictitious things and got him, entrapped them into lying and sent them to jail. Those, I'm sure, something will come out about them being exonerated because this was all a set up trap,
yeah,
as all the documents are proving. So, and further, we also have now. I'm going to want you to read this one. Graham, Senator Graham, which is head of the Senate side of the Congress, came out and said this about what these memos that were declassified shows. So, Graham, declassified memo shows entire Mueller investigation was illegitimate to begin with. This is breaking. Go ahead.
On August 2nd, 2017, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, wrote a memo to Special Counsel Robert Mueller outlining the scope of the Mueller's investigation. On Wednesday, the Justice Department released to Senator Lindsey Graham a declassified version of that memo, drawing grasp from Graham, the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman.
Okay. Now, they just sent a memo to him. This came out yesterday. And so Graham is in shock. What's big about this, it says, listen here, it says, outlining the scope of the Mueller's investigation. You know what that means, outlining the scope of something?
It means it was planned?
No, here's what it means. And so just like a lot of people don't understand that, I had to look it up a long, long time ago. But what they mean by the scope of the investigation means that if I put a thing and I say, okay, I'm investigating you for stealing a Twinkie, okay? That means they can't go investigate you for stealing a Xerox. You understand what I'm saying? The case is only focused on one thing. They're not, that doesn't give them justification. If they find that you didn't steal a Twinkie, they're supposed to stop. They're not supposed to keep digging and 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 digging because they already cleared you. They're supposed to announce that you're cleared and the investigation over. They're not supposed to keep going and going and going. They have to refile, change the scope, start a new investigation. So, okay, so now we know what that is. Now, this is what Graham says about it. Go ahead.
The legal foundation for Mueller's appointment is crumbling, Graham told Fox News Sean Hannity Wednesday night. The memo to Mueller from Rosenstein was given to me today or yesterday by Attorney General William Barr, fully eradicated.
Unredacted.
Oh, unredacted, virtual unredacted, virtually
yeah.
Unredacted.
Yeah, that means like, have you ever seen a piece of paper? You get them from UFO things and all the time, and they'll show, they'll say, well, we asked for the information, but then it's all blacked out because
yeah.
It's top security. But Graham read it totally unredacted. And
with
so
nothing marked out.
Nothing marked out, so he knows what's in it.
Okay. So now we know that the scope of the investigation was to look at Carter Page, Flynn,
Papadopoulos,
and Manafort as to whether or not they were working with the Russians. Now, this is in August of 2017, but Graham noted that in January of 2017, 8 months earlier, the Steele dossier had been disavowed by a Russian subsource, and the FBI knew it. And without the dossier, there's no warrant to spy on Carter Page 8 months later, Graham said. So they knew that the Carter Page thing was a fraud. Okay,
so they knew before they went into the investigation, and everything was based on a dossier, this documents that Graham has read, and he's shocked, actually shows that they had nothing to base the investigation on, period. So therefore, it couldn't have even went forward into these guys. So it's all illegitimate. Let's go on.
The new unredacted memo from Rosenstein instructs Mueller to investigate four people. Former Trump campaign volunteer Carter Page for colluding with Russian government officials. Former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort, also for colluding with Russian government officials and for allegedly committing various financial crimes. Former foreign policy advisor to the Trump campaign, George
Papadopoulos.
For colluding with Russian government officials and acting as an unregistered agent of Israel. Former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn for engaging in conversations with Russian government officials during the period of the Trump transition, making false statements to the FBI when interviewed about his contacts with the Russian government, failing to report foreign contacts and income on a form SF-86 that he completed in anticipation of his being selected to serve as the National Security Advisor to President Trump, acting with respect to Russian interference in the 2016 election and two alleged financial dealings. Rosenstein tells Mueller to look at four people, Graham continued. But by August, there was no legal justification suspicious the Spec Carter page of being a Russian agent because it all depended on the dossier, and that crumbled in January. Flynn's case was looked at by the field office in Washington January the 4th of 2017. They said there's no reason to believe he is doing anything wrong. He couldn't be part of a crossfire hurricane. Papadopoulos, in the tape in 2016, denying working with the Russians, saying to do so would be treason.
Stop. They asked him about it, Papadopoulos. They tried to corner him, get him to say something, you know, just like they tried to make Flynn lie. And Papadopoulos came through. He says, what are you talking about? That would be treason.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't do that. That would be treason. Okay.
Right.
So, that's
there was no legitimate reason to believe any of these four were working with the Russians on August the 2nd, 2017. Therefore, the entire Mueller investigation was illegitimate to begin with. That's very important.
Okay. Now, Graham is the head of the Senate. And Graham, you know, while a lot of people don't like him, and he's kind of a rhino or whatever, for he has always said that he said, well, they need to look into it for much. And he's an old guy. He was trying to think that they wouldn't lie, that the FBI wouldn't lie to create a case.
Oh,
and so he was saying they must have had something to at least investigate, you know. Anyway, that's what he did. So now he's in shock, and this is what he says.
I wish a Democrat would take this seriously, Graham said, but I supported the Mueller investigation because I didn't know. Now I know. Now I know why Mueller didn't find anything, because there wasn't nothing to find. Graham made a special point. The FBI and the Department of Justice is writing to the Vice Court in 2018. Now, this is 2018. In 2018, January of 2018, Devin Nunes writes a memo critical of the FISA application. The Grassley-Graham memo is very critical to the Carter page warning application.
Warrant application.
Here's what the court is told by the FBI and the Department of Justice in July of 2018. They say in this letter to the court, no, the application is good, it's solid, it's sound, a few technical irregularities. Then they repeat the lie that the subsource was truthful and cooperative. In other words, they're telling the court that the subsource validated the dossier rather than shredded it.
Okay, stop a second. You know, what's really bad about this is, see, since we found out that they lied to the FISA court, they randomly tested some other the FISA court is something they use all the time.
Right.
Okay. So they tested some, everyone they tested after that, just going backwards, they found that not only in just this case against Trump, but they found errors or lies in all applications to the FISA court, where they've never been telling the FISA court the truth, period. So far, to everyone that they've tested and investigated. And we're talking about for everybody, not just Trump, but for everybody.
Right.
So this has been a bogus thing going on for a while.
They are actually repeating that lie again in 2018. Only until Horowitz came along did we know. Why couldn't they have found that what Horowitz found in the file? You have a memo right there for everybody to see indicating that the subsource, the Russian subsource, said the dossier was a bunch of garbage. It was hearsay, bar talk. I'm telling you, man, this is J. Edgar Hoover stuff. We're going to have hearings. In July of 2018, how would you possibly tell the court that a subsource was truthful and cooperative when the memo in the file says he undercut the dossier? They are repeating the lie to the court that Horowitz found. That tells me that the FBI has not taken seriously the abuses associated with Crossfire Hurricane as late as July in 2018. That's what it tells me beyond any doubt. In a statement to report John Solomon on Wednesday, Representative Devin Nunes, the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, said the information was
redacted
until now for one single reason, to hide the fact that the false allegations from the Steele dossier were included in Mueller's scoping memo. In other words, a bunch of lies paid for by the Democrats were used to engineer the appointment of a special counsel to drag the Trump administration through the mud for years. The Russian collusion hoax was a disgrace, and we can't let anything like this ever happen or be repeated again.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was all a bunch of garbage, and now the evidence is there. From what I've seen and everything, we heard that they are building a case. There will be arrests by sometime between July and September. I don't see how they can't. Okay, folks, we're going to have to go to a break. Tell them where to find us, and we'll come back in 4 minutes.
Okay, you can find all the radio archives, the information on the Mission Church, and all the updates over, and all the contact information over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
And you lost your way. Don't worry about it, everything's okay. Jesus gonna come himself and look for you. Give you a charge of the Holy Ghost power. See you through your troubled eyes. Life is a way. Surely you will find your way. He's always on call. He wants to sign alone. His charge is always free. With a shout of victory, what more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer's always yes to meet your needs. Problem and worry's got you down. Jesus gonna take you to higher ground. His blessings will flow, lift you above the storm. Like the thief in the night, he'll be coming soon. Could be morning, night or noon. Are you watching for that blessed hour to come? He's always on call. He wants to save a lot. His charge is always free. With a shout of victory, one more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer is always yes to meet your need.
The first century historian Flavius Josephus gives us great insight as to what took place on the Sabbath, not only in Jerusalem, but in all of the Roman Empire. In his work entitled Flavius Josephus Against Appian, he states, "The multitude of mankind itself have had a great inclination of a long time to follow our religious observances, for there is not any city of the Grecians, nor of the barbarians, nor any nation whatsoever, whither our custom of resting on the seventh day hath not come." Philo, another respected first century historian of Alexandria, Egypt, reports the same findings. In his work entitled On the Life of Moses, he questions, "What man is there who does not honor that sacred seventh day, granting in consequence a relief and relaxation from labor, for himself and for all those who are near to him, and that not to free men only, but also to slaves and even to beasts of burden. Philo concludes his statement by saying, everything is at liberty and in safety on that day and enjoys, as it were, perfect freedom in obedience to a universal proclamation. What did the first century believers do on the Sabbath? They rested just as they always had. It was not necessary for the church to instruct the Gentile believers as to the Sabbath. They were already observing it throughout the known world. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin,
and we're broadcasting, coming to you live from the Flint Hills of Kansas at more on the American Voice Radio Network. This is a Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. Okie dokie, okie dokie. So folks, I know you want to know about coronavirus or whatever, an update at least. We'll give you that in a little bit. We got something else here. Oh, and I want to apologize for not doing two radio programs last week. The reason I didn't do two radio programs last week is the internet went down right after the first program, and they had to actually replace the whole line to this house. But amen, so it's all fixed and ready to go. So remind you folks that internet and radio isn't free, that we do need your help to pay those things.
I don't remember last time they had to replace line over here. It was because the squirrels ate it. What happened to it this time?
I don't know. I didn't get to talk to the guy, but I was figuring that because we still have squirrels, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they eat rubber lines. But...
Well, I'll tell you what. We got a walnut tree, and I haven't had but one year that we had. That's when we had all those cats, and they was eating the squirrels. That's the only year I've ever had walnuts hit the ground. Other than that, they eat all the walnuts.
Well, I wouldn't say they the walnuts. No, the walnuts are always at the ground. They just pick them up.
And take them, because they're never on the ground when I mow.
Well, right, but they pick them up and take them, or they drop them on my head like they
did. Yeah, I remember that day when you was walking by and one dropped it right on your head.
Well, me and Daniel and somebody else were standing outside of the house talking underneath that walnut tree, and, you know, walnut, it fell down and hit me on the head, and I went, oh, that hurt. And then I just thought it fell out of the tree, and then another one fell, and it just missed me, and I looked up, and there was a squirrel right straight up above me. I could have swore he was bombarding me with the walnuts. But they're really neat. They lay out there and tease the dog that's on them, that long, long lead.
Yeah, they run by him.
Well, they're going to be just like right 2 or 3 inches almost, it seems like, right beyond where he can get, and I'll just sit there and stare at him.
And let him bark. He's getting old, and his bark sounds all too.
Yeah. Well, we better move on with the program. People don't want to hear about our squirrels. Anyway, okay, this goes out to all those worried people that said President Trump, deal of the century, to bring the Palestinian people a separate state and would give away land for peace. I knew better in the first place, and I've talked about this before, but there's some other breaking things with it. But first off, we knew that they would reject, the Palestinians would reject it anyway, because they were required to give up all armament, so they couldn't fight Israel anymore. There's no way that they were going to do that. It was almost like they put it into the deal to make them reject it, you know, but that's what happened. So... it would have to completely just, so it was completely rejected. So Israel now, and they had already even said this before the deal, now Israel's going to gain a bunch of land, and it could very well lead to some trouble or some war over there, but they're not giving away for land for peace, they're going to gain. Let's read this.
Trump's Israel ambassador to Washington to recognize Israeli sovereignty in Judea Samaria in weeks by JNS, May 6, 2020. Keep, therefore, all the instruction that I enjoy upon you today so that you may have the strength to enter and take possession of the land that you are about to cross into and possess. Deuteronomy 11:8.
Yeah, enjoy.
The Israeli Bible.
Right.
Okay. The United States is ready to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Jordan Valley and Israeli settlements in Judea and Samaria in the coming weeks. U.S. Ambassador to Israel David Friedman said on Tuesday.
Okay, now stop a second. I'm going to intercede on several of these. One of the things that I'm looking for, maybe, I don't know if people remember that I talked about talked about how that they found all of that treasure, the temple treasure.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right, but it is buried in the Jordan Valley. It is where it is, and it was under the control of the IDF. If they would have went ahead and dug it up, there would a lot of without having Israel appointed sovereignty over that area, then there would be a big fight over the temple treasure.
Right.
Well, so there's a strong possibility that after they do this, they might just find the temple treasure, but let's go on.
In a special interview with Israel Haman on the occasion of the two-year anniversary of the relocation of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Friedman explained that several processes must be completed prior to this move. The timetable for which he said depended mainly on Israel. He emphasized that Washington does not plan to impose any new conditions for the move. According to the ambassador, when the process of mapping the area is complete, the Israeli government agrees to halt settlement construction in the part of Area C that will be excluded from the annexation plan, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu agrees to negotiate with the Palestinians on the basis of the Trump administration and Middle East peace plan, which he already has and they rejected outright, the United States will recognize Israeli sovereignty in areas outlined in that plan.
Okay, now let's go like this. Now, even if they had taken the peace plan, so to speak, now Area C is an area that they wanted to move the Palestinians into. But currently, Israel doesn't have, it's not like they would be giving the land away, because currently Israel doesn't have sovereignty over that land right at the moment. It's just under IDF control. So they wouldn't, even if the plan had worked, they wouldn't be giving away land because it was already designated, you know what I mean, because it's not taken away from anything Israel already has. Although the fodder, we all know that what the Bible says, that the land for Israel is much bigger than it is now, just like that song said. But anyway, but let's move on. So,
okay. Friedman stressed that the key element is that Israel has to be the one to make the move. It's not the United States that is declaring sovereignty, but the Israeli government, he said. And once it does, the United States is ready to recognize it.
Okay. Again, this isn't the United States forcing anything. They just said, if you want to do it, we'll recognize it.
Right.
You know, so they're not forcing the issue at all. And they hadn't. They had already, Netanyahu, before they even made up the police plan, had already talked about he wanted to annex this land anyway. He already wanted to do it. Trump just agreed to go along with it. And
right.
He's not forcing any land.
Yeah, he's allowing them to make their own decision. He's just backing them. Whatever
you
decide, I'm behind you.
There you go.
Okay, as for whether the Trump administration will push Israel to recognize the Palestinian state, Friedman said that the only condition with regard to this issue is that the prime minister, regardless of who that may be, agrees to negotiate with the Palestinians in good faith for 4 years.
And the Palestinians don't ever want to negotiate, let alone they're not going to give up their what? Guns.
And he further acknowledged that Netanyahu. Okay, let's see that.
I don't know if I can now. Netanyahu.
Okay. Netanyahu.
And by the way, they have agreed to a coalition government, and Netanyahu will be the prime minister that does this. Go ahead.
Okay. Netanyahu has given his consent to this condition, and that it is the Palestinians who have to reject the idea.
Who have rejected the idea.
They don't have to. They already did.
Right.
Okay. Under the U.S. plan, while at this time the Palestinians refuse to negotiate with Israel, if, they, for example, they agree in 2 years, time to do so, the prime minister will be obligated to resume talks, he explained. As this condition was set for a time period, the United States wants...
For a limited time period.
The United States wants to keep that option on the table for 4 years, said Friedman. But what about the...
moratorium.
Moratorium on settlement construction. According to Friedman, this stipulation would be relevant only to secluded settlements and would apply to expansion of their territorial footprint only, not all construction. Once Israel applies its law to the area, the absolute majority of settlers, some 400,000 people, will continue living their lives as usual, with construction taking place according to the existing laws that apply to communities within the Green Line. About 10,000 to 15,000 of them will be unable to expand their community's area, but will still be able to build up, he explained.
Okay, but...
So that means they don't get any more land, but they can still build on what they got.
That's one part of it. That's in one part of it that we're talking about, Area C. There's some things already existing. But other than that, in Judea and Samaria, there's a whole bunch of settlements getting ready to be built. You know, Israel's going to just go boom and expand. Okay.
The ambassador added that places like Bet El and Hebron are the historical heart of the Judean Samaria, noting that many Israelis have told him they have no interest in handing them over to the Palestinians as part of a peace agreement. The administration knows that just as Americans would have relinquished the area...
Would never relinquish
the area on which the Statue of Liberty stands, even though it's a very small area, Israel would never agree to give up these places, he said.
Well, right. Hebron has places like Abraham's grave is there.
Yeah, why would they want to give that up?
Yeah, that's their foremost father, you know what I mean? They're not going to give that up. Go ahead.
Friedman said he has come to learn that Israelis from all walks of life believe that the plan presented by the Trump administration is the best plan for Israel. Gush Eston Regional Council Head Shamonumion responded to Friedman's remarks, indicating that the U.S. Embassy was preparing to recognize sovereignty in Judea and Samaria within weeks. Neoman said, I bless Ambassador David Friedman, a Zionist, a man of principles, who is working alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to bring to realization the immediate process of applying sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. Hopefully, in the near future, we will be able to realize the dream of generations and erase the Green Line from the state map.
Yeah, amen. So, you know, this is all about Israel expanding, not being taken away.
Right.
Like all these alarmists did, and we did a radio program about that about a few months back when they were screaming about it. We talked about it, but we did tell them what would happen if Land of Peace. Remember what happened with the hurricane and all that when they gave away the land, but they ran. The difference was they were forced by the Bush administration and all these people. Did it say anybody was moving anywhere of any Israel? No, they said they're expanding.
Right.
The other thing that happened, they forced them out of the area.
Yeah, Galilee, wasn't it?
Gaza. Yeah, Gaza. Okay, moving right along.
Okay, however, at the same time as we fight to fulfill our dream of sovereignty, we will fight against any attempt to create modern ghettos out of our remote communities. All of Judea and Samaria will be sovereign, and therefore in all communities built in accordance with the laws of the State of Israel, there should be no limits to expansion, whether we're talking about building upwards or inwards, or in, length, or width. We will not accept any concessions on the territory or concessions on our rights to sovereignty within our territories.
Amen. These are people that are already living there. You know,
right.
they're wanting to make sure everything's right.
I say without hesitation that the sovereignty of the state in the areas of the home of our homeland, Judea and Samaria, is a Jewish and Zionist value, just like the ability and freedom to settle in all areas of Israel are Jewish and Zionist values. In plain language, we will not give up on any child in the family in favor of another child. If applying sovereignty violates our core values, I am willing to give up on it at this time. We established a world-class enterprise of communities operating for over 50 years without sovereignty, and we have a lot of strength and patience to continue onward and achieve our national goals in their entirety.
Right. You know, it's been proved time and time again, you know, there's no, and that was from the people that lived there. We want to make sure they're right, because there are some settlements already there. But anyway, but it's been proved time and time again, there's no such thing as the Palestinian people. You know, one, the Palestinian people that are Jordanians and Arabs, if anybody can even look up history, and you can see that. There's no such thing as the Palestinian state or Palestinian people, period. There were Arabs and Jordanians that had lived, some of them had lived in the area for a long time, but Israel, Jews have always been in the area. Anyway, but they woke up, and this is what Walid Shubat, which is a former Palestinian terrorist, said right here on this program when I interviewed him. He said, Arab and Jordanians woke up one day like me and were told that they were Palestinians, and we didn't have a clue. That is said by a Palestinian terrorist, Walid Shubat. God gave the land to Israel, and they added Canaanite people. And in fact, you know, now here's another thing that might have to happen. Excuse me, I got to get a sip. Okay, the Palestinian, the head of the Palestinian government right now said that if they annex this, that they're going to dissolve the Palestinian state thing that they got. And then everybody's going to be the responsible of Israel. Really? That would actually be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Right.
Right, so we'll see. There will be some problems ahead to this, but we'll see. okay, we need to wake up and believe that, believe it or not, people should be responsible about Corona. Do you believe it?
Yeah, they should all take responsibility for their self and others around them.
Right. So that's self-responsibility.
Right.
Okay. But the government, and you can see where all the democratic states are. Now, I know you pay attention to Facebook and other places. You know, has the government been over, not the government, but has governors,
yeah,
and people in charge of cities been a little too crazy?
Yeah, some of them are really way far out there, like the one state that they can't even grow anything to eat.
Michigan.
And then there's one woman that they arrested and said she had to spend 90 days in jail because she had vegetables planted in her front yard.
Or the woman in Texas that opened her nail salon and they arrested her because she opened her nail salon a week early, and they put her in jail. But the governor of Texas said that shows you how it works down to that little city. Well, the governor didn't say do that. The little city, the judge in that city, they brought her before the judge for violating the shutdown order, and so he sentenced her to 7 days in jail, which she's there right now. So the state attorney general said, no, you're not. You're going to release her now today immediately. And then the governor reissued an order that said that nobody can be locked up for failing to close their business or whatever in Texas. But, see, in Texas is a pretty, you know, free state. But because a local government, a small local government and people locked up this woman. But here's the point. That was a Democrat, that was a leftist Democrat judge, that is what we call an Obama judge. Here's the point. Folks, you need to look out and look around you, because these are the people that if Trump gets out of office, these are the kind of people that are going to be ruling over you.
Right. There was one man, I don't remember which state it was because I get them all mixed up, but there was one man that he runs a tattoo business, so he locked down like he was told to in the state he was in, okay? So he went to, he wasn't eligible for the loan. He couldn't get the loan to keep his employees paid, so he couldn't get that loan to keep his business going. He couldn't get he couldn't get through the phone lines to get unemployment, so he had no unemployment. He went 30-some days without any money. He had a family and kids and a wife. He didn't have food to feed, and so he opened his store. He has a backlog of customers. He wasn't doing any tattoos. He opened his store 3 days early to prepare to open. 10 minutes after he opened the door and turned the light on, they arrested him, and they gave him 90 days in jail.
And I think that one, I think, is being appealed. I don't know the final outcome of that, but we also have this thing in Ventura, California, because I want to get on to our mission. But Ventura, California, they're hiring thousands of people for contact tracing and forced removal of those who can't isolate. It says,
if you have COVID-19 and you live in a home with others but have one bathroom, you will be removed. And I also read something where they're taking, if a parent or somebody in the house has COVID, they're taking all the children out of the home.
Okay, but again, I want to point, Ventura, California, they're wanting to trace everybody and track everybody and
I've
all these
that.
Things. So, you know, I believe that a family, that should, look, if I decide that maybe you had COVID and I wanted to stay in the house with you and treat you and take the chance myself, that should be up to me.
Right. And Kansas, I've seen the governor's speech last night. She had a special doctor on there that was, I don't really remember, but they were saying that they are doing tracking here in Kansas. They had 200 people they were tracking for one case right now that they had contact with. So, yeah, it's going to be in Kansas.
Well, the tracking is one thing. Now, let me get this straight. They do need to find out who gets it so they can track you and say, hey, you know, you've been exposed.
Right.
But what they do after they find you is something else entirely different. So that's what we're talking about. What they do after they find you.
Right.
You know. But let's go with this. So we went back. We were gone. We had to take a short break, and we went back to the Mission Church. And so what happened?
At the Mission Church?
Yeah, Tuesday.
We fed dinner out the back door, 59 dinners.
Okay.
59 hygiene bags, 59 dinners. And we went back Tuesday, and everybody was really appreciative that we came in.
Right.
And we didn't open the church up. We just give them one at a time at the back gate, at the back door, put them on tables. They come in the gate, get it, and the next one come in one at a time.
Okay. They came in. They got a bag of hygiene. They got there was a Bible available for them. Some of them took Bibles. The Bible was available for them. They had a bag of hygiene, and they had food.
And a bottle of water.
And a bottle of water. Right. And I had words with them and everything. And you missed them greatly. And so, you know, she stayed inside. Well, I took the food outside. She was, you know, putting it with sloppy joes and...
Two sloppy joes, two donuts, and a handful of tater tots.
Right. Okay. And so, and it was sloppy joes with cheese on them, by
right.
the way. Anyway...
And I broke down and cried because I didn't get to see none of my people. It's no fair. I'm stuck in the... But I was happy that I got to feed them. I just would like to be able to talk and see them.
Okay. But the father took care of you. First is we got a phone call from our next door neighbor that's poor that always comes over and eat, and she said she was coming. What'd she do?
She said, are you still there? I've got to see Linda. Are you guys still there? We was actually about done. So, yeah. She came and brought me a big old bouquet of flowers.
Okay, and
then I was worried about a pregnant woman that we'd been helping along, and I knew she was due in April, and I was worried about her all day because I hadn't seen her. I'm like, I wonder if she had the baby. I wonder if she's okay. And guess who showed up with the baby? And no, I didn't get a hold of her. I kept my distance, and I'm told, and this is real hard for me. I'm a baby stealer, but okay, I'll do it for COVID and the baby and me, so... Yeah, but I got to see her. That was see him, and she had a little boy, 6-pound boy. So, yeah, everything's good.
Yeah, and they were thankful to get the dinner place that you made.
And I went back in and made them three because they were late. And I had leftovers, but when they showed up, I didn't have leftovers no more.
Right, because you fed the rest of it out there. So, folks, we are there, and we're trying to get them as much stuff. We need all kinds of everything.
And I want to put out there, really, 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 we do need meat because we need to keep feeding. And we got a, my son heard on the radio yesterday that meat prices are going to double. So we need to get meat as soon as possible within this next week because the meat prices, I'm afraid, is going to be so high.
And that's a warning to all of you. In fact, a bunch of Wendy's all across the country have ran out of beef and are just serving chicken. But although President Trump says, I'm trying to fix the supply line right now, and he says, I'm going to talk to the Wendy's guy that owns Wendy's and see if I can't help him fix it because we need Wendy's hamburgers back.
Yeah, that's one of his favorite places. That's funny.
So Trump stepping in, you know.
Well, he did. I did hear one thing where it said he was demanding that the meat packing companies open back up.
Well, and they have been opening up. They have been opening back up. Even the major Chinese one that went down has opened back up. But, you know, there's a lot of people out. Just for the record, let me say this real quick. We haven't got much time at all. Okay, right now, they're in the United States, there's 74,000 and some odd deaths, of course. But what I want people to realize is this is real, folks. If you live in New York City, you know how real it is to you. There's been 26,130 deaths due to the coronavirus.
267,236.
I'm not talking.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're reading the wrong place.
Okay, you're looking at the
26,000. 26, that's New York, period. New York City, there's 26,130 deaths in New York City alone. There's 54,000, almost 55,000 people that have it in New York City. Yeah. That is not normal, folks.
No, it's not. And just look at the deaths in the United States of 74,844 in 2 months.
Okay,
well,
I gotta
the
go.
Death for the flu was
end of story. Tell them goodbye.
Okay, I want to say one more thing. I want to say congratulations to all the 2020 graduation kids out there. Congratulations!
All right, folks, you can donate online or over the phone by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. We do need your support. We'll be bringing you things. Send us an email, text, phone call, something. Let us know if you're something you want us to talk about or somebody you want us to have on. And I'm warning you, there's a guy going around calling himself Elijah, been on a couple of radio programs. He's not Elijah the prophet. End of story. Anyway, folks, you must remember there is only one God, one true God. He is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Oh, and Michael Snyder will be up with me in the next program today. He was supposed to be on last week, but he's going to be on with me tonight. You want to say anything else? You got 20 seconds.
Our time graduates Saturday, yay!
Yay, okay. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
And Linda Catlin, goodbye.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.